African instruments. We're gonna speak in tongues. But it's already been translated because you know the translation and you know the song. So I'm a The second song says, worship or serve me. I have called you to serve me. Whether it's raining, whether you are hungry, whether it's snowing or it's hot, I have called you to serve me. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege to be part of your service this morning. And to report to the church and tell you about what the Lord has been doing in Togo through your prayers and through your giving as well. I'm going to show you a DVD presentation, which will be the summary of all that I have talked about during the Sunday school hour. So we're going to see that DVD now. And as it goes by, please keep the sound, the music down, so I can do some explanation as we follow back. We are the Wodume family of Togo, West Africa, since 2011. We are ministering in church planting, into evangelism outreach. We also teach, I also teach in a Bible school where we should not go, and we have to do the funds as well. Church is the Greek Baptist, the Greek Salem, the Tamani. We move from Atibu to this land to Rakwa in 2014. And then prepare the land to be able to use it. These are the same materials that we use for the first chapter. We brought them here to include the new chapter to bring with that. December 2014. Of our 5th anniversary at that time. He's a missionary in north of Togo. So thank you very much for watching, and I wanted to give you an update. So we are waiting for that. My message this morning is going to be an encouragement for all of us, not to get weary, as the song says, and send the light, but to continue being busy in the face of the Master, so we can reach out the world with the gospel before he comes back to take us home. The page probably. I got it. Okay. Technology. Okay. The statistics are for what we have done beside our regular activities on of the week is we did two out of the 4 years, the 5 years, eight mass evangelism, which consists of movie nights and preaching of the gospel, four VBS, and about a total of 1,400 lives were impacted during that period of time. We did visitations on Saturdays, and 16 people were baptized during those years. Regular Sunday morning attendance for adults in the first church varies between 20 and 25, teenagers 15, and children over 50. On Wednesday night, we have an average of 20 people attending prayer meetings. Salvation decisions, more than 100 kids were saved, and more than 60 adults were saved. And we also have done those things, but not all those are saved are coming to our church, but we are glad to be part of the saving process of sharing the gospel with the people before the Holy Spirit got hold of their heart, convincing them with sin and righteousness. So thank you. Now we're going to turn our Bibles to read some verses. The first one I want to read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's stand as we read the word of God, please. First verse I'm going to read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. The second passage is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth." Last passage we're going to read is in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 19. Through 20. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, we read, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us such a wonderful day. Weather is cold, but this is how you set up the time and you control everything. And even though we don't like the cold, we are glad to be here at this time in a place that is secure and that where the heat is working. We are all warming here. So we thank you for your provision for all that. We can thank you also for your word through which you speak to us as believers. And now that we are gathering here, worshiping you, fellowshipping with each other, we are around your word. It's time for us to sit upon your knees so you can speak to us through your word. Lord, may we be encouraged in that which we are already doing for you, because this is a command that you have commanded us to the disciples. When you read it, you make them write this into your word to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and that we should reach the world with your gospel. Lord, we pray that we'll be encouraged to continue doing so until you come. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may sit down. We are going to concentrate our readings or sermon on Acts chapter 1, verse 8 this morning. So everything's going to be on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but I think those other verses are also part of the process when Jesus spoke in various occasions, inciting and strengthening the disciples, commanding, commissioning them to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. So the title of my message is An Encouragement to Continue the Great Commission. An Encouragement to Continue the Great Commission. And as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, we see after Apostle Paul instructed the believers in Corinth about the gospel and then also about the resurrection, other things, he urged them to not to be weary in the work of the Lord, but to continue what they are doing because their labor is not vain, will not be vain in the Lord. Our effort of worshiping the Lord, our obeying of the Great Commission will not be vain. It's not vain. So let us continue. Let us be encouraged to continue the Great Commission. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, go ye therefore into all the world, and but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in all Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the world. We see that this verse is a recording of our Lord's last meeting with the disciples while he was here on earth. So we see that he was preparing to go back to heaven and to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And before he leaves, he has commanded, he instructed his disciples, he commissions them to reach the world with his message. So we see when Jesus commission or commands his disciple with the gospel message, it was a big responsibility that was put before them. So to be able to do so, the Lord eased this on them by breaking it down into three sessions. So first, we are to begin this work close and then move out. So we see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible points out that we must spread the gospel from our local community to places in the nation and also around the world. So we believers, every church is already doing that. But I want to encourage you to continue in that process in which we all are involved, to continue doing so until Jesus comes. So the first point we see in this passage of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is that we must spread the gospel from our local community. The disciples did spread the gospel in Jerusalem, which was their local community. The first part of the verse says, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. So we see that they spread the gospel. But when did this happen? It happened on the day of Pentecost. After the Holy Ghost came upon the disciples, the Lord promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples. He told them to wait until they receive power, the power that will be with them, the power that will encourage them, the empowering of them to be able to speak boldly, to proclaim the good news. And this came on the day of the Pentecost. After that, the Holy Ghost came upon the disciples. Then they went out. When a lot of people came in Jerusalem on that particular day, and hearing them in their different languages, it was surprising for them. Then Peter, one of the apostles, raised up his voice and spoke, preached the gospel, and the Bible recorded that 3,000 people trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. I think it's because of the power that they was in them, because the power that the Jesus gave to the disciples that encouraged them, empowered them to be able to spread the gospel. So as the disciples this did, we must spread the gospel here in our own community. Our Jerusalem, your Jerusalem is here, mine in Togo, West Africa. But so most of the time, oftentimes we are afraid of spreading the gospel. We are ashamed sometimes of sharing our faith, but we should not be ashamed nor be afraid, because we have the power. We have the power. The Holy Spirit is our power. Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that he is not afraid of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. So we see that Peter was not ashamed. He boldly preached the gospel in Jerusalem, and 3,000 people were saved. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. Because if we are ashamed of the gospel, we are saying that we don't have the power in us, but we always have the power. I want to share you a story of a man who he told us the story before, a few years ago, how this man is a law enforcement guy. He's a policeman, go to work every day. But as part of his work, the law has been putting on his mind to reach out for to somebody in the area. This man is a homeless, living in the corner somewhere in town. And the Holy Spirit began to press upon his heart to go speak the gospel to that person. Go talk to this person. Go talk to this person. But every time he heard the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, he would turn this down and say, "Oh, I will do that later. I will do it later." Every time he passed by, go speak to that person. "I will do it later." Until one day, as the Holy Spirit was pressing continually upon his heart to go to speak to that person, he finally gave up and said, "Okay, I will do it in the morning." He even won't do it that day, but he said, "I will do it in the morning." Sometimes our attitude like that. When the Holy Spirit pumped in our heart to reach out to somebody, we kind of go against the voice of the Holy Spirit in our heart and postpone that, or saying that let somebody else do this. But this policeman said, "I will do it in the morning." So in the morning, he wanted to keep his promise to the Lord. So he dressed up in his uniform, got in his car, and went to that place to find out that there are some more people gathering in that spot where the man lives. And then he walked to those people and called one person, asked him, what's going on here? And the response he was just struck him. And the man told him, "The homeless guy who lived here just passed away." "What? He just passed away?" He said, "Yes, he passed away." This policeman turned around, start weeping. He doesn't want anybody to know he was weeping. So he turned around, wept for a while, tears running into his cheeks, and finally he got away. After everything was done, body taken care of and all that, he went home, confessed his stubbornness to the Lord, and then made that his mind that he will not turn down any opportunity that will be given to him to share the gospel. And down the road, what happened? He got out of office and became an evangelist. So he wanted to be in the job full time so that he'll concentrate all his attention to the preaching of the gospel. So brothers and sisters, we don't have to be in that process. We don't have to wait until somebody passed away before we respond to the call of witnessing to others It is our job. It's a command. It's a commission from the Lord to us to do. We don't have to force the gospel on people. We just need to do our part and share the gospel with people and then leave the rest to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, the power in us, is also that power which convinces of sin and of righteousness. So we don't need to be ashamed at all. While Jesus was on earth, he ministered for 3.5 years. And during those 3.5 years, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So you see, Jesus did reach his own community first, because salvation, the Bible says, is first for the Jews. Likewise, we also must begin spreading the gospel in our community, which we are already doing. But let's continue doing that, because there are still people in our community that need to hear the gospel. They need to know the reason why God sent his Son on earth. Why? Because we are sinners, because we deserve death, because we cannot redeem ourselves, but only the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. They need to know that Jesus suffered, shed his blood, and died on the cross. And they need to know that he was buried and rose up again on the third day. That's the good news. Brothers and sisters, we are serving a risen Lord, and he commissions and commands us to continue what he started. People in our community need the Lord, and that's why we must spread the gospel in our community. And not only should we spread the gospel in our community, but we must spread the gospel to places in the nation. We must spread the gospel to places in the nation. The disciples did spread the gospel in Israel. The verse continues saying, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria." So Judea and Samaria are parts of Israel. If you read carefully the book of Acts, you will find that as you read through, that it's divided. It gives the progression of how the gospel spread out from Jerusalem, then in Israel, then also to the outermost part of the world. In the book of Acts, from chapter 1 to chapter 6, we see the account of the expansion of the church and of the gospel in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we see that the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were saved. So the disciples were busy every day sharing their faith, sharing the gospel with people, and the Holy Spirit was converting people was convincing people, and they got saved daily. Every day people got saved and they joined the church, and their number was growing tremendously in Jerusalem. But when you get to chapter 6 to chapter 9, you see the expansion of the church in all Judea and Samaria. It was not easy for the disciples. They were persecuted. And when persecution broke up, they just scattered over the country. Well, it was like they were enjoying the comfort zone of Jerusalem. Like, if they really don't want to, maybe they were thinking it's not time yet for us to move on. Let's stick here. And then, boom, persecution. Stephen was murdered. And what happened? If you feel danger, what do? You run away. So they start running away. But that did not stop them. Even though they were running away from persecution, they did not stop sharing their faith. Why? Because they knew the Lord has overcome the world for them. Because early in the gospel, the Lord said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? So when we are persecuted in the area, we run away from that persecution, we get another place, what happened? We will not stop because we were persecuted there before, but in the new place, we still have the power of the Holy Spirit on us. And Jesus said, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We will be persecuted. Maybe not all of us, but the persecution is there. And when you run away from persecution, you go to a new area, don't look at that persecution. It's going to happen again here. Just do what you need to do. So it didn't stop the disciples. They continue to spread the gospel because they knew the Lord had overcome the world for them. We also must spread the gospel in the rest of our countries. I must continue spreading the gospel in Togo. You must continue to spread the gospel in the U.S. Just as the disciples did in all Judea and Samaria, we must spread the gospel in the rest of our country. Your country, America, is a great nation built on trust of the Lord. And years ago, they talked about 6% of the believers, Christians, living in the United States, and for the 40% in the rest of the world. But nowadays, they are talking about, the statistics say that 60% of believers are living outside of the United States, and only 40% are living in the United States. Many people are moving to live inside the United States, and many of them are not believers. So we in your community, in everywhere now, unbelievers are coming in the community. So we need to continue reaching out our own community, our own nation, the rest of the nation, with the gospel of Christ. There may be persecution when we do so in various ways, but as persecution did not stop the disciples to continue what they started because they knew the Lord has overcome the world for them, in the same way the Lord has overcome the world for you and for me. And no matter what you and I face, either death, persecution, hatred, or whatsoever, we must continue spreading the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. We talked about Operation Christmas Shoebox before, and I just want to thank you for being involved in that as well. It's a great tool for us to use to reach the children. We have talked about how we share with the children blessings by giving them school supplies at the beginning of the year. We share with you about how we organize training for ladies and girls as a means of outreach. And during all those sessions, so we took the opportunity to make sure the reason we are doing that is not just to give something to them. It's not just to teach them to learn something, but the main point is to share the gospel of Christ with them. And every time you may have maybe 40 or 60 people showing up, the Lord always will bring salvation to either one or two or more of them during those opportunities. And you do Awana, you do different club outreach here, and those are good tools that we need to continue doing, reaching our community with the gospel. Sometimes it's not easy to go and say it. Sometimes it's easier to just draw people in so you can preach to them to various methods, but the bottom line is that we must go, we must preach, we must teach, we must witness so people can come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. The third point in this verse is that we must spread the gospel around the world. Let's read the whole verse one more time. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me first in our community, in Jerusalem, in our nation, in Judea and Samaria, in the rest of the world, and unto the utmost parts of the world. You see, that is the great commission that the Lord has given to us, to start in our local community, then move from our local community into our nation, and then from our nation into around the world. Because being a missionary begins at home. We are called, all of us believers are called. The two big responsibilities of a believer and is worship and outreach. Worship with all that is involved in it, and then we must evangelize the world until Jesus returns. So being a missionary begins at home. From home it spread to the country, and from the country it spread abroad. The process of witnessing involves speaking up. Sometimes we believers, we think, I'm just going to live my life as a believer so people may see, and when they see me as a believer, they will be saved. But the process involves the speaking out, because when we go to Romans chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. Romans 10, 13 to 15. Romans 10, 13 to 15. From verse 15, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So we see in this passage, when we continue down to 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that before somebody must hear, somebody needs to do what? Speak. So you see, salvation is available for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And in this passage, Paul is asking four rhetorical questions, which are identifying steps that needs to be taken by whosoever wants to come to faith. So the first one is the sending of the preachers. And the second is the preaching of the good news, because the person needs to hear. Then the third one is the hearing of the message preached. And fourthly, the response to the message, which is believing in Christ and calling upon the name of the Lord. So we as believers need to be including some of this process if others must come to true faith. Because the process of salvation begins with the one who tells others the good news. And that's you, and that's me. Let's not get weary in the feet of the Lord, but let's continue reaching out our community, reaching out our nation, reaching out the world with the gospel of Christ. Paul quoted Isaiah 52, verse 7 here, saying that those who bring good news are blessed. Yes, they have beautiful feet. In the world, we can have, I think, I don't remember, maybe I told this story here before, about how to have beautiful feet. Did I tell you the how to have beautiful feet story here when I was here? Maybe not. But you know, when I put you guys in a competition, for example, we are, okay, let's say this morning we are going to do a competition of who have the most beautiful feet. So we're going to put the ladies in this side and the men on this side. And everybody going to take out shoes and socks and display the toes and the whole feet. So we can see who has the most beautiful feet. But I'm guessing, don't get me involved, you know. The ladies won't have any problem displaying their feet, right? But as for we men, we'll be hiding our nails that are not in good shape, you know. And all that is not be pleasant, but the ladies won't have any problem. But we men, we don't usually take good care of our feet. Some do, but not all of us. So how to have beautiful feet? What do you need? Non-acetone polish. Aromatherapy oil. Toenail scrub brush, pumice stone, emery board, nail ripper, cuticle pusher, and paraffin wax. So, is it difficult to be done? No, it's easy. Time about 30 to 45 minutes, and you're done. Here is how you do it. First, you remove toenail. You soak your feet. You trim the calluses and the corns. You trim your toenail. You apply paraffin wax treatment, lotion, and massage, and you're done. Clean. But whether you do this yourself or you have it done in a salon, the analogy here is different. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. So you see, when you read that passage, you see just picture Jesus Christ walking down the dirty roads of Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Israel. When reading this passage, I want you to picture in your mind the apostles taking the message of the gospel by responding to the call of the master who sent them out to do so. Within this passage, I want you to see yourself. I want you to see preachers today going out to share the gospel message. But the question is, would you say that your feet are beautiful? And the only way that you can say that your feet are beautiful is to share your faith. Share it. The remnants. When the captivity was over and the news was announced that they can return to Judah, those runners, barefoot, ran to announce, it's over, the captivity is over, we can return home now. How beautiful are your feet? You are blessed because it's good news. That's how people will respond sometimes. When they got saved, oh, I thank the Lord for sending me to you, because without you, I would not have heard that message and got saved. That's how we can have beautiful feet. We will have natural, beautiful feet if we take care of them. But to have beautiful spiritual feet, we need to share the gospel. We need to share our faith. We need to preach the gospel message. Hallelujah. Because people need the Lord. People need the Lord. Our task is not yet totally done. We are still waiting for the coming of the Lord. And up to that point, let us not get weary in the field of the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power, the strength, the boldness, the ability, and the confidence to be witnesses for Jesus. We cannot do it on our own. Let us not neglect the power that is in us. So if you heard that voice speaking to us, go, 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 witness, share. Let us do it, because we just need to share. And the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. I love always, every time I do a presentation about sharing the gospel or the Great Commission, I love this song. I don't have the authors. I think it was Philip Green or some, if I do not mistaken, that had this song. And the title is People Needs the Lord. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, leaving fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He is the open door. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. When we will realize people need the Lord. We are called to take His lights to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our heart can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the word of life. Only we can share. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On the go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People needs the Lord, people needs the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, is the open door. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. When will we realize people need Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams is the open door. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. When we will realize that we must give our lives, for people need the Lord, people need the Lord. Let us be not weary. Let us grow weary in sharing our faith. Let us continue sharing our faith, reaching out the world until Jesus Christ comes. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for the challenge of the hour. Perhaps in some of our lives we have grown weary But you have told us to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Father, we pray that this morning we would have a renewed burden for the lost, a renewed burden to be used of God as instruments to carry that news to others. And so we pray that we might rededicate ourselves to that cause, looking for opportunities and using those opportunities for your glory. Thank you again for the challenge that we've received today. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder how many would say, God spoke to my heart this morning. I recognize what God has called me to do, and again, I'm going to, with God's help, be more faithful in my personal witness and my sharing the gospel with others. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. My hand's up too. Thank you. Put your hands down. Perhaps there's one here that isn't even saved today. You don't know Christ. People need the Lord, and if you don't have the Lord, you need the Lord. He's the only one who can save. He's the one who shed his blood to pay for your sin. Is there one who'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'm concerned enough about it to raise my hand and ask you to pray for me. I need Christ as my Savior. I need to be born again. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Anyone? Slip up your hand. I'll see it. Remember, you're in prayer today. Father, continue to use your word in our lives. Thank you for this reminder again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go to